Blog Talk Radio.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse to addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for educational and community integration. SMART Incorporated, Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, zip code 19081, phone 484-905-2027, 484-905-2027, fax 302-761-9019. You can also contact us at smart2change@yahoo.com.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Me all the time. They always in my business. Seems I'm about to lose my mind, yeah. And though it seems I'm acting funny, man, excuse me, but don't diss me, cause I'm going through some things, yeah, yeah.
Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I'm going through some changes. My life is rearranged, yeah. Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I said I won't complain. I'm going through some.
Here I lost my dad. I can't believe he's gone. He was the best friend that I had.
Oh,
yeah. And
yeah.
I hope I don't disturb you, man. Excuse me, but don't diss me, cause I'm going through some things. Yeah, yeah.
Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I'm going through some changes. My life is rearranged. Yeah. Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I say I won't complain. I'm
Hey,
ay, 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 ay,
mama's tripping. My child support is here. And my life still is too.
I'm going through some pain.
Recession's got a grip.
I'm going through some pain.
I've got to pay these bills, yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
Hey, and I want to welcome you right here to the next phase with Ice and Friends, 7:08, 8 past 7 p.m., 102 degrees in West Texas, clear skies, but very, very hot. And let me say hello to the chat room, Ms. Coco Kisses 1. I hope she's going to help me with hosting a little bit tonight. And guest 8416, my dear sis, hey, Miss Lacey, thank you for joining us. And my dear sis, Miss India DeClaire, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you. Haven't had a chance to catch your show this week, but I will. Been busy. I'm working on retiring. That's what I'm trying to do right now. Anyway, love you. And want to say thank you all for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. We have a caller right here. Let me put this caller online. And Coco Kisses, is that you?
Yes, that's me. Good evening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your help. Really do.
I hope all is well.
Oh, absolutely. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell you what, just don't go away. I want to do a few things, and then we'll get into the topics that you and I had discussed, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you. Appreciate it, ma'am. Miss Coco Kisses, appreciate your help. She's up in Pennsylvania, up north. And she was going to be a guest host, and then she went on vacation here a little while ago, and so she came back. And I'm glad she decided that she would assist me tonight. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. And let me start it off. Let me say this first. I want to mention this. Want to be sure and very clear to mention this that Miss Twinkles is going to be, she was a guest here a couple weeks ago, because I missed last week. Let me apologize for me not being here last week. had some circumstances and situations with grandchildren and so forth, children, and which was wonderful, a time that we needed. But we're back tonight, and I guarantee you, Psalm, with all the situations and circumstances that are occurring here in the media and, well, really in our lives, as a matter of fact. But I did want to mention that Miss Quiet Storm, who's on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, and 11 a.m. Central Standard, 12 noon Eastern Standard, she's going to be featuring Miss Twinkles, I believe, this Saturday, the July the 30th. And, again, let me introduce Miss Twinkles. She's not here, but let me just give you some information about Miss Twinkles. We had a wonderful discussion. At least I enjoyed it, and I had heard some comments that so other people enjoyed it as well. Miss Twinkles, widely traveled, very well read, many years of accomplishment in the field of human resources, effervescent personality with an infectious smile. She's soon to explore the benefits and opportunities of entrepreneurial pursuits. And you can't afford to miss Miss Quiet Storm with her wonderful guest, Miss Twinkles. We'd highly recommend and encourage and literally implore you to make sure that you are somewhere in the house whenever those two get together, because I know it's going to be a dynamic situation. And while I'm in that vein, let me go ahead and mention my dear sis, Miss India DeClaire, comes on daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and she has one of the most dynamic shows you've ever heard. You can't, in my opinion, afford to miss it. It's very highly informative, very provocative, and you get absorbed into that show actually before you really know it. And she has just volumes of information and very engaging personality. I really appreciate having even had any exposure to any degree with this lady. She's a wonderful person and has a wonderful family. And, of course, Miss Lola, she has Miss Lola. And Miss Lola is on duty all the time. So Miss India DeClaire show daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And also I think she's going to be, oh, well, as a matter of fact, she's launching her, I think, going to be streaming video. I'll look back in the chat room in a minute and I'll give you an update on all that. But she has a site. Let me, sis, will you put your site in the room and I'll jump back over there right quick. You know I'm a one-screen guy. Also, I'd like to mention Ms. Navazor, Navazor1, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1. And I believe you can still find my sis, Ms. India DeClaire, at I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India DeClaire, or she's shortened it to I-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, the real raw right now. And I'll try to get that information to you from her directly here in just a few minutes. But Sister Navazor, a beautiful, wonderful host. I never had a chance to meet any of these ladies personally. I've just had an opportunity to sit in on some of their shows, and they have some absolutely wonderful shows. Navazor 1, N-A-V-A-X-O-R 1, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can find her at blogtalkradio.com/ N-A-V-A-X-O-R 1, Navazor 1. I can't go without mentioning Miss Janice Graham. Dynamic, powerful, and very innovative, entrepreneurial lady. That these individuals are inspirational. Honestly, these ladies will not let you slack up. They are moving ahead fiercely. Miss Janice Graham with Our Common Ground. She has a network. Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can find her at www.blogtalkradio.com/OCG, Our Common Ground. And also you can contact her at or find get any information on Miss Janice Graham at Janice, J-E-N-I-C-E, at Our Common Ground, all one word, .com. And you can find her there at that address. Brother Alpha also, let me say, this brother's step, he steps it up too. And he does a fine job on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you will thoroughly enjoy him. He is real, let's see, just, I can't remember what his words are, political pushback, just damn, that's what it is. The Alpha Show on TruthWorks Network, Ms. Janice Graham's network, just damn, political pushback radio, that's the Alpha Show. I believe that's the Alpha Show dot weebly.com. And if you want to catch him, be sure to do so. I think that you will enjoy his show. I know I do. He and I have some disagreements, but we work it out. He's a powerful brother, and he has some real tremendous concepts, and I really appreciate it. I got a chance to listen to a lady who has a show entitled, let me give you the spelling of it. It's S-T-U-D-E-N-T, Student to Teacher, T-E-A-C-H-E-R, Student to Teacher. What is self-empowerment is the series that I got in on, and I got in on, I believe, parts one and two. Professor Applewhite. And she has White Apple Institute in Mesa, Arizona. And if you want to find her on Blog Talk Radio, all you need to do is go to S-T-U-D-E-N-T, Student to Teacher, and type that in the blog search block, and it will give you the information on Professor Applewhite. And she has an excellent show. Very, it's wonderful. No doubt about it. I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention Dr. Reba, the Covenant Connection, Dr. Reba, D-R-E-B-A, Dr. Reba Haley. And you can find her at Dr. Reba, www.rebahaley.com if you want any information there. And I encourage you to enjoy her information. She approaches everything from a spiritual perspective. Miss Blue Raspberry Wind, you can call Blue Raspberry Wind, Blue Crystal. 641-715-3800, access code 10569. Again, Blue Crystal, 641-715-3800, access code 10569. And she's a life coach. And her tag is Know Your Magic. Love Productions Incorporated, Nikki Love, 9 p.m. Thursday, today. So you want to check her out also. Powerful, powerful shows. I really enjoy them. DePoetis, The Original Poetry After Dark, Friday and Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Wonderful show, absolutely. Harlem Talk Radio, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Current TV, Keith Olbermann, Current TV. Check that out. I think you'll enjoy it as well. And I want to say, I mentioned that these are a few of the people that I hope to incorporate them as I go through my show, The Streets Don't Love You Back Radio with Boyd and Lucinda. And they have an absolutely marvelous show as well. I got a chance to listen to them, and I really enjoyed the flow, enjoyed the conversation and the guests. So these are some of the shows that you'll catch on Blog Talk Radio. You get a chance to listen in. We sure would appreciate you doing so, and thank you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Prince. And I always like to kick it off with this. The opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776, states as follows. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The emphasis I always like to put on this is that all men are created equal. And you're not going to hear, you hear different versions, and some people have different beliefs, whatever, but my personal belief is that all men are created equal, and if you can't handle that, then I suggest you keep it moving, because that's the way we do it here. I also like to mention my dear sis, Miss MPL, MPL Hair Salon, MPL Salon Hair in Houston, Texas. Congratulations to her for the graduation of her youngest daughter. Blessed success with her enrollment in college this coming year, that youngest daughter of hers. And congratulations to your oldest daughter who graduated and already enrolled in college and is pursuing her professional ambitions. Some of you may know her better as Miss Ice Cream on another venue. But MPL Salon Hair in Houston. Let's see. Now, I wrote a little thing that I'll share with you right quick. And are you still there, Miss Coco Kisses?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Just hang in there. Just give me a little bit of time here. John.
Okay.
Thank you. John Boehner. That's what I call him. John Boehner. Just might go down in history as the absolute worst Speaker of the House ever. 83 freshman Tea Party. P-O-T-T-I-E, amateur Republicans, plus their handlers in the form of Whoosh Limpballs and Grubber Norquist. have again, since the last administration, involved themselves in literally dragging the American economy down to the most horrendous level ever. Purely arbitrary it is. There are many ways to address the situation that we find ourselves in that would not cause near the pain these rookie congressmen and women insist on. Well, that's what happens when people want to experiment by buying a pig in a poke. Not can, but will they be stopped? Not can, but will they be stopped by the voters? Will the voters have enough ire, have enough determination, focus, commitment, educate themselves to the extent that they will disallow these guys from continuing on with this absolutely insane pursuit of theirs? Will they be stopped from assaulting elderly individuals who have no options in this at this point except government assistance? And some people haven't even had retirement. You know, my great grandmother, they never had retirement. There are a lot of families that haven't ever had retirement, and these individuals have paid into Social Security and so forth, looking forward to at their golden years to have some compensation, some way of having a reasonably decent last few years. And these people are going to saddle this budget that they ran up during the previous administrations. They ran the budget deficit up, and now they're going to all of a sudden cure it. And will they be stopped from assaulting elderly individuals who have no options at this point except government assistance, which they planned for and depended on? Children, even, you know, children who, as a result of their parents losing jobs, find themselves living in cars and motels and washing their face and brushing their teeth in places like Walmart stores. I mean, these guys are just some of the most diabolical individuals I've ever heard of because of the losses of their homes. These children are doing this. Do the Tea Party representatives care? Not at all, because they are not fetuses. They only care about a child before it's born. Once a child is born and in the family and has needs, that's the time Republicans feel abandonment is best executed. Can't you just imagine the insanity of Michelle Bachmann proudly expanded on the idea that black American children were more apt to be in loving families during slavery than under this president, Barack Obama? Rhetoric has its place in public discourse, but Ms. Hale Bachmann, an accepted leader of the Tea Party, to introduce that slavery is preferable, preferable in these days, to me, is as abject stupidity. Slavery was an illegal act under the Constitution of the United States of America. All men are created equal. Anyway, but maybe she forgot that many children born to slave mothers were the products of rape by slave owners. And were they to have had child support enforced on the slave owners, and not to mention the prosecution for rape, there would have been a totally different outcome. And if I remember correctly, Ms. Hale Bachmann also had a word or two to offer about reparations, as she so proudly accepted her reparations for their family's home, as well as their family's so-called farm and her husband's psychological clinic. And by the way, didn't she receive some government assistance for her home? Anyway, I guess my point is that when the voting majority experiment with Republicans, you'll always get the same thing: gridlock and predictable failure. And Ms. Coco Kisses, I'm sorry. Now I'm back and ready to. What would you keep me on course, Brother Alpha? Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the room, Ms. Coco Kisses. What were the things that we were going to discuss today? Dog whistle racism. I hear you, Brother Alpha. Sister India. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Coco Kisses. Please forgive me. I'm not used to having a guest, a host. So let me just read this from the chat room right quick, and I promise you I will relinquish this mic to you just in a second.
No, do your thing, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Sister Indy DeClaire said the news is simply too much. Republicans have shown themselves to be either deliriously stupid or deliberately evil. Deliriously. That falls in the evil category. category. Banner Republicans, kamikaze, economy crashing cutters, and non-compromisers. Boner Republicans, job killers, social safety net killers, education killers, voter rights killers, health care killers, women's health care killers is exactly what they are, and that's the way we call it right here on Block Talk Radio. And you will hear that live with Brother Alpho on the Alpho Show. My dear sister, India DeClaire, heard every day at 10 a.m. right here on Block Talk Radio. She tells you, gives you the real raw right now. India DeClaire says, Boehner's Republican, tax loophole savers, Bush tax cut savers, billions in taxpayer subsidies to America's wealthiest corporation savers. She said, I declare it, and I'm with my sis. I'm with her 100%. Stop the Republicans from repealing the 21st century. Actually, repealing the whole 21st century. I declare it. The end of declare show, real raw right now, declare it, absolutely. Brother Alpho says, dog whistle of racism. Now, my dear sister, Miss Coco Kisses, and thank you, Sister End of Declare. Thank you, Brother Alpho. What were we going to discuss? The topics, I'm sorry.
Black men missing from the church.
Black men missing from the church.
Yes.
Do let me see. Do you want to read it, or you want to pull it up and read it?
No, you can read it.
Okay. Black men missing from the church. See, I got another story up here by Pat Buchanan and what he said about the Norway shooter. You know, what we try to do here with the next phase with Ice and Friends is any topic that we bring up, we do the best that we can to have it relate to something that has to do with your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we bring up the topic, and we also, because the topic is meant for discussion, but not only do we attempt to bring up a topic, we also attempt to give you some options as to how you may want to address it. And my options may be totally off the beaten path to you. I mean, your options may be phenomenally more insightful than mine, and if they are, please, please feel free to give us a call at 347-945-7040. Your comments, positive, negative, whichever, whatever, are always welcome right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends, because we want to hear, we want to engage you in conversation, and we do appreciate you being a part of what we do here. Pulling back up, are men missing in the church? And it's having a hard time. Poor little old computer mine. It's trying to pull it up. And let me see. I wonder if it's going to do it. I'm going to bet that it's not. So, but did you read the article, right?
Yes.
Coco Kisses. How did you feel about it initially?
Well, I don't know. Here's the article here. I'll post it.
Thank you. Okay, I got it to come up that time. So while you're posting, I'll go ahead and read it, okay?
Okay.
Are black men missing in the church today? Are black men, black American men, missing in the church today? At least one man thinks so, so much so that he's working to build as much support as possible to bring black men back to the church. The National Black Church Initiative, which markets itself as a faith-based coalition of about 34,000 churches, plans to kick off its seven-year Bring the Black Men Back to the Church initiative in September. Reverend Anthony Evans, president of the NBCI, said the initiative is part of NBCI's Healing Family Initiative, which seeks to bolster African-American families against the tide of violence, poverty, and moral depravity and failure. Given the serious issues facing African-American men, including rising levels of incarceration, drug use, and unwed fatherhood, we can no longer stand by while our men openly defy God's word, he said. Evans believes if something is not done now, the next 10 years, our churches and communities will be non-existent. There is something missing from the heart of the black church, the presence of our black brothers. Evan said, the sisters have all the power and will have to stand down to create a balance. There will be some push and pull in the congregations, but this is a sacrifice that we all will have to make. You cannot have a church where women are in the lead of every ministry. However, there are some that are not so convinced there's a problem. Reverend Dr. Charles E. Collins, Jr., an associate minister at the Pleasantville Baptist Church in Duluth, Georgia, believes the main question is to be asked is, who says black men aren't in church? Collins believes it would be foolish to think black men are missing from the church. Actually, according to the population, where black men are percentage, are the percentage is probably very appropriate, he said. We hear they are locked up or on the streets. I would say black men are in church at a rate they have always been and very much in the roles they have been. The NBCI uses a Pew Forum 2007 survey and the findings of the Barna Research Group to support their argument. According to the Pew Forum survey and findings, people of black ethnicity were most likely to be part of a form of religion, 85% being Christian, and according to the Barna Research Group, a Christian research firm based in Ventura, California, more than 90% of American men believe in God, and 5 out of 6 call themselves Christian, but only 2 out of 6 attend church at any given Sunday. This means that in America, 60% of the church attendees are women. However, these surveys do not distinguish between African-American men or men and women of other racial and ethnic backgrounds. Do these statistics assist in proving Evans's point? And, you know, I have a, this takes me back when I'm thinking about the absence of black men in the church. Because when I was growing up, anyway, let me finish. It is true, said Collins, that women are the general population holders, which in turn making women a greater percentage of the church population. But black men are still there, constantly creating, gaining, coveting new ties, new positions, new roles, and new garments, and holding on to their dear for their dear life, he said. Dr. Dennis W. Wiley, co-pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., agrees. There has always been this reality that there are more black women in the church than there are black men, Wiley said. But from what I can see, black men are not missing from the church. I would push back on that. There should be a focus on the constituency that's lacking, that's incarcerated, and that's drifting on the corner somewhere, Collins said. However, helping people develop their religious identity more while in the church is what we are called to do, he said. Wiley said that is what they are trying to do in his church. There is a new generation that does not know much about the church and never heard about the church, he said, adding that in order for the church to attract anyone, the black church has some very serious challenges that it needs to confront. According to the NBCI, their focus is to open our doors, arms, and hearts to understand the complex sociological and psychological factors that prohibit African-American men from being consistent churchgoers, better fathers, less abusive spouses, and better members of society. Instead of asking questions like, where are the black men, Collins said, the focus needs to be adjusted on what draws folks in order to understand why they are present or understand where they are. Those are the answers that we seek, he said, and that's what we should want to know more about, so we can figure out what people need and how we can best service them, or I should say how the body of Christ can best serve them. Okay, very laborious, but I hope I didn't lose a lot of people. So Ms. Coco Kisses, would you give me, please, your opinion on that article?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, I disagree with a lot of things. I'll start with the role that women play in the church. If we're the best capable to handle the job, being a woman, period, then what is the problem? If we can give you the information just as well as the gentleman standing beside me, I don't see the problem in that. It's just my opinion, but not everyone will agree. And I agree with Ms. I.D. Claire, who says, When will, she says, as usual, black women pulling the most of the load? She says, when will our men awaken to their value and realize they are brilliant and desperately needed? I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, because to me it seems as though rather than do what they need to do, you know, as a man, they will just rather turn the other cheek. They'll, you know, portray to be this ignorant type of person. Well, really, they're very educated. They're just lazy.
Wow. Should I just take that? Or should I? I need to say something in defense of the brothers out there.
Okay,
you know,
well, do what you have to do.
Now, you know, what my opinion is that when you see what, to me, happens a lot is that we have all the information that's given to us. For instance, non-participation of black guys or black men in the church. We look at everything through a European from a European perspective. And you see, there is a great, great difference between the way that Europeans were socialized into the American society, in my opinion, and the way that African Americans were socialized into the American society. And so when and you know, people always say, where are you going? You always bring up color or whatever. But no, you know, my thought is that, you know, when I was growing up, I went to church. My grandmother, my great-grandmother took me to church. I stayed with them until I was 14, then my mom. And church was essential for me growing up as a youngster. And it was essential for most of the guys that I grew up around and most of the young ladies that I grew up around. It was essential. I mean, it was just expected that you were going to show your face in the place on Sundays. And so as a result of having done that, I think that I benefited tremendously. Why were some other guys, I don't know why there's some other guys, it wasn't mandatory that they come to church, but there were some brothers that were loyal, and most of these brothers were some of the older brothers, and there were some younger brothers that were being mentored by the older brothers. And I mean, I'm talking these dudes, you know, back in the day, they had some suits. Now I can remember them old brothers getting up to the way it would work in the Baptist church that I went to in rural Texas. Was we would get there, I got there early because I had to go to Sunday school and all this different kind of stuff. And generally, the superintendent of Sunday schools was a guy, generally. And the secretary, the treasurer, and the teachers primarily were women, except for the teachers of the men's class. And but after the Sunday school was over, they had a I don't know what you would call it. It was an intermediary service that led up to the pastor's entry. During that intermediary service, they had deacons that sat on the deacon's pews, and those brothers would do some old 100s, or either one of those sisters would break out bread and everything, you know, all that, but, you know, one of those things. And by the time that preacher got in that church, by the time he got to the pulpit, that church was rocking. You know, I mean, it was literally rocking. And because they had already got the sauce mixed up and stirred up and put
right
on the stove, and it was like really, really cooking. And so, you know, those guys, to me, the brothers were some brave brothers, because back in the day, I was born in 51. And back in the day, best I can remember, 56, 57, 58, 59, like that. I mean, you know, parents were concerned as to whether or not the children were going to get home. I mean, I can remember people coming and picking up my grandmother and her getting in the back seat. I can remember scraping wax off of floors with a razor blade. I mean, that's how bad the work was for the maids and so forth. And what they came to church for was that was the place. They seemed like they built up everything in them for for six days. I mean, they built up all the worry about whether they had the money, all the worry about how they were being treated, all the worry about, whatever the reasons, whatever their different other involvements were, worrying about the children, worrying about the schools, the performance, worrying about the violence in the neighborhoods or whatever. And whenever they came to church, they exploded. I mean, it was just, but what I said was that there were very few, not very few, the amount of families, which included mothers and fathers, was smaller than the amount of single parent female head of households, generally, as best I'm able to remember. It may have been 50-50, I don't know, something like that. But, and the ministers were, seems to me, a lot more genuine. And as things have evolved, we've gotten more distractions and we've gotten fallen away kind of from those days. And, I've had conversations with different brothers that they're into totally different other things. They don't believe in God, for whatever reason, and I'm not knocking them. But there are more options available, whereas to me back in the day there weren't that many options. But how do you, I can understand from your perspective, I'm assuming, not trying to be presumptuous, but to understand that maybe possibly, you're saying that brothers are just, you said lazy? That was the word?
That's exactly the word I used, yes.
And why?
They're educated. They just don't want to take time to speak their mind. They don't want to know, they don't want to learn to know, to admit that they know something. I don't know.
Your opinion is
valid. It seems to me that they're instilled with all this knowledge, but, refuse to use it.
I entitle that
lazy.
Now, let me tell you, don't ever think that I'm being antagonistic. I may ask you a question or make a comment, but please don't back down, because the sisters I know, they got that firm spine and they ain't going nowhere, and
no,
I'm sure you just the representative of that.
I speak my mind, and I stick to, I'm not that kind of woman. I got something to say, I'm going to say it. That's just who I am.
That's what I can appreciate now. There was a time that, my socialization process had me believing that men were dominant and men were this, that, or the other. And I really now at 59 realized that I was misled for a great portion of my life, and I missed out on a lot of enjoyment that, that I should have had by welcoming the opinions and absolutely encouraging the opinions of some of my sisters, that I was around. And I want to say, back to the chat room, guest 9447, thank you for joining us. And thank you, Brother Alpha, and dear sister, the end of the class, and lovely, lovely Ms. Lacey, thank you for joining us. My sis was posting in the room. She says she submits, if anyone realizes they are of and from value, they will think and behave from that root, Sister Indy Declare. And let me tell you, let me just say, and Brother Alpha, he has a comment in here as well. And once they realize they are valuable, the sky opens, absolutely, and one stands and lives taller, And she is just so complimentary. You just don't know. She just is such an inspiration. But she speaks about Brother Alpha and myself. And I think Brother Alpha, just based on what I know from my experience and exposure with him and some of the other guys that are hosts on this show on the Block Hour Radio, that we don't have a choice. I mean, these ladies are pushing so hard, we don't have a choice but to speak up, step up, and speak up, and not out of ignorance, but we try best to listen and get that lead, and expound on that. I think at least that's what I do, and I'm not speaking for Brother Alpha, but just saying. And, Sister Indy is continually talking about value. And thanks, Jim, for being a little brief example of value, power, and spread. You know, I'm telling you, I was raised by women. I mean, there are a lot of brothers I've talked to, brothers that come from, you know, they talk about my dad, and I'm like, I really celebrate their dad. Not knocking my dad, but he just wasn't around and during my life as I was growing up. And so I watched the ladies, I did what they asked me to do. You know, it wasn't anything. I wasn't talking back to those old ladies. I mean, them two, you know, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, that was out of the question. And I would have to sit still. I, you know, had to go through all that process. But the thing of it is that they had no way to, they didn't want me to get in trouble, number one. They didn't want me to get locked up. They didn't want me to end up in the graveyard, number two, or the hospital. And they had seen, there was 200 people, there was, we had there was that town that I lived in was 6,449 people, 6,449. And there were probably, I can remember in the time that I was growing up in that town, probably out of 20 years, there was one person on average killed, one African-American killed a year. And sometimes two or three, and then skipped a couple of years. And there was, everybody was huddled up in this one segment of a segregated environment. And, you know, we somehow learned to get along or whatever. But they impressed upon us, as did a lot of other families, the value of our lives. And so when, you know, you grow up knowing that there is a certain value that you have, and you grow up knowing that there is a value in that individual across from you, because primarily when we grew up, I don't know, you grew up, where'd you grow up? In Pennsylvania? Hello? Hey, Miss Quiet Storm, welcome to the room, Miss Quiet Storm, thank you. Coco Kisses, are you still here? Let me see, who... This, whoa, 111, are you here? Hello? Is anybody here? Okay, there's somebody, I hear some music. I don't know, 111, I don't recognize that code. But anyway, continuing on about, what we were talking about was the black men in the church, and why is it that we can't get any black men in the church? And listen, let me tell you, you're welcome to give us a call at 347-945-7040. If you have any comments or you want to offer any opinions about this particular issue, we would greatly appreciate it. And I've been reading in the chat room. There is Miss Quiet Storm. Brother Apple said, however, with the likes of Eddie Long, Creflo Dollar, J.D. Rhymes, Crimes, I don't remember. the point out your hearts and your minds. Yeah, well, you know, sis, like I say, there is no choice that we have except to, be motivated and encouraged by the sisters, Sister Lacey, Miss Quiet Storm, Sister India DeClaire, and as well as Brother Alpho, and as well as Miss Coco Kisses. I think she lost connection. I don't know where she went, but hopefully she'll be back. But anyway, I really appreciate her having gotten in here with us. And what we were discussing was, are men missing in the black church? And number one, there are so many more options. There are the options of Muslim, there are the options of different types of other faiths. Like I talked to some brothers who believe in Kemet, and I can appreciate that because I've learned a lot from those guys. They do an extreme amount of research. Hey, Miss Quiet Storm, somebody was jamming. I noticed this. I was, but. You know, these guys do an extreme amount of research, and they can provide some insight as to why that we should have value and pride in ourselves, and why it's significant, I think, that we do have that kind of pride and value. And, you know, while I'm on this topic, let me say that then, and the topic actually was initially, why don't we have more black men, or why can't we get black men in the church or whatever? And I'm assuming that that means, let's say, I'm hoping that that means leadership roles. But, you know, the way that we were socialized and culturalized as people of African descent, we couldn't stand up for our families. I mean, we could not defend the virtues of our females. I mean, I look back at the old brothers, and a lot of old brothers, you know, a lot of people laugh at them because they drank or whatever, they used their, you know, and I realized these guys didn't have a chance to stand up for their families. If they did, they'd become tree ornaments, or they'd be, had their heads laid on the railroad tracks and trains run over them, and the whole entire town knowing what went on with them, and then being complicit in that type of aberrant behavior, devious and demonic behavior. I mean, you know, for a brother to stand up for his woman, for his lady, for his wife, you know, and that was extremely difficult. And so I'm assuming, yes, this is, you know, in the class says, yes, African American men and women are carrying wounds of centuries. And we you know what it is, Sister Rabia, that girl. No, I just love her to pieces. Love me some sister Miss Rabia, and with SMART 2 Chainz. And I was hoping that's who that was, because let me tell you, here's why I was hoping that was her. And I'm just so grateful. Miss Lacey, I'm going to tell you, I've asked Miss Lacey to come on, and I'm hoping that someday she will, because she will give you a surprise when she comes on. And but Miss Quiet Storm, what she does with the time that she has on the air as far as exploring the depths of character of a lot of the individuals that she's invited on her show is just tremendous. The way she elicits that information and provides it, opens it up for a person to look at and enjoy the benefits of. And Sister India, the way that she presents her information and just compels you to call, and then has discussions with you that are more than, you know, the traditional corporate media of about 2 minutes or 1 minute, saw the world's problem in a minute. You know, Sis will engage you in conversation, and she is just phenomenally intelligent, very articulate. Brother Alpho will challenge you. I'm going to guarantee you that. He will challenge you. He'll challenge me, and I just love it. Me and him get after it. but I love the brother. He's a powerful brother. And, no. Sister Rabia, listen, I'm supporting you, sister, because SMART, and I'm going to play this and I'll be right back, because this is so essential, especially with what they're cutting out, what these guys are taking away. And to me, it's so essential right now that we come together. We are truly the daughters and sons of kings and queens. There is no insurmountable formidable impediment to our success. Failure is absolutely not an option. Failure is not an option. And I'm feeling it, and I could be wrong. I could be misplaced. But there is a cohesion that's beginning to take place. It's like I was explaining, talking with somebody, it's like when you see metal fragments and a magnet come down, and I don't know what we're all being drawn to a point, like a spear point. Like, this is the more powerful than anything that I've ever seen, and I don't know how long it's going to take place, but I do know it's going to take place. And I'm just saying that, like Sister Rabia up in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, who doesn't just talk about the conditions of individuals. She actually commits herself to be of a tremendous assistance to the ladies, the core of our culture, the core of the ladies, to assist them in reestablishing what my sister Andy DeClaire referred to as value. How can, you know, you wonder, how can, and that's why I invite sisters to come on and brothers to come on, and they're like, what am I going to talk about? What you going to talk about? The only reason I'm talking with you is because you're talking with me. And obviously, if you hadn't interested me, I wouldn't even be engaged with you to begin with initially. I don't have just entertain individuals just for the sake of doing it. But, you know, I've had sisters tell me, well, they just need to get out of that neighborhood. That's what they need to do. It's just to move. I move. And so I'm like, how'd you do it? I don't know. What did you do to get yourself to the point? Because there are young ladies out there and young brothers out there. I got a cousin right now. She is going through some stuff, and she's down in Florida. I love her. Love her to pieces. And I want her to be exposed to these powerful sisters that say, this is what you got to do, and put their arms around her. Like Miss Twinkles has her little, has her every month, I think it's monthly, what she calls Sister something. I can't remember what it is, but where she gathers up at a restaurant, and everybody, the ladies, kind of dress up a little bit or whatever, and they go have lunch and have discussions about real topics where that sisters get to unwind and get to support and nurture each other. You know, where brothers, you know, like we need something where a brother can put his arm around another brother and not feel fakeified and tell him, man, hey, man, let's do this, baby. Let's do this. We can handle this thing. Let's do it. You know, and that's what this is all about. That's what the things that we do, as I'm perceiving it on Blog Talk Radio, is all about. And Sister Rabia is right up with it. So let me share this with you, and I'll be right back right after this.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
Hey, and those are the words that Sister Rabia Ahmed, those are her words. And she was so compelled that she left her previous employment to spend the time in her current enterprise, which the enterprise of rebuilding lives, repurposing people, where that, you know, a spirit, I don't think it can be really broken, but I think that it can be, I think possibly it could be, but I don't think it's irreparable. And I was looking in the chat what Sister India was saying here, and Sister Rabia, you know, if you want, all you got to do is hit me up if you want to come off hold, because, I mean, I'm just like, you know, she says, Sister India says, let me go back, because I missed some of that conversation. Citizens of Painters, we must be, you know, we must be the save for each other. We must be the saviors for each other. We must be here and help each other, not shoot and rape and rob and beat each other. Well, you know, and we must heal each other. You know, I mean, Miss Quiet, thank you. We can and must dare to change the tide of the past and rise in healing and love is what Sister India Declare is talking about. We must live daily to lift and heal. And Sister Lacey said that's the key. You know, Sister India said, yes, Lacey, we now should all know now no one will lift and heal us but us. We cannot wait on anyone. We can't wait on the government. We can't wait on the Tea Party. And I'm looking at Sister Melissa Harris Perry. But we cannot wait on anyone outside of us to heal us, to lift us. This is truly an inside job, absolutely. Instead of killing, beating, verbally beating, berating, raping, robbing, we need to use the energy to lift, inspire, empower, encourage, and nurture each other. And that's what the programs that I'm telling you about, that's what our programs do. I'm not talking. Oh, I'm not even paying. I'm Sister Rabia, whatever. We have to wait on who will save. Wait on who will lift us. No, wait on who to empower us. Wait on who, she's saying, Sister Indy declares, saying. Absolutely, because, I mean, it's within us, which I think that's an undiscovered reservoir that we have that we've either one haven't discovered it or haven't developed it. But to my idea, it's going to be more or less kind of short lived because the corporate media can't don't know how to address it. You know, I've watched Brother Al Sharpton on MSNBC lately. And Brother Al Sharpton, I had a story that was, absolutely, sis, totally untapped, she said. But, sis, we all do it. And we all do it. You know, the change must come from within, Ms. Quietstone says. Take what responsibility we must take and seek to change our mindsets and heal. And you know, that's different because, see, initially, what was put upon us was to destroy each other, destruction. See, that's a way of like crowd control. You stir up, keep stuff going, and people will at work. I noticed they do that, and I call it a management system. And what they do is they'll get people angry at each other, and people will manage themselves. And what they've done with us as a culture, and until we began to realize it, is they get us stirred up and we manage ourselves. And all they have to do is sit around the outside with the what they call, way I look at it is Anglo people have law enforcement that protect and serve. People of African descent and some others have law enforcement that enforce the law. And, we have to reestablish a community where there is pride and a value and embracing of our heritage, where that I don't look in the mirror. Like, I can imagine a brother back in the day, like I say, being as big as Shaq O'Neal, 300 pounds, 7 foot tall, and a little old dude, 4 or 5 foot tall, come out and kick you out of your house. There's nothing you can do. Go in. You got one room, and it's holy, and wind blowing through it, and he can go in with your children on one side of it and your wife or your whomever your lady is on the other side, and this dude can go in there in a drunken stupor and take advantage of your wife in slavery. He can walk down from the back of the house, come down to the slave quarters, kick Shaquille O'Neal out, 7 foot, 300 pounds, and take advantage of his wife. Walk out, look at him, and laugh, and go on back to the house. And Shaq opens the door and he looks at his wife, and his wife is sitting there trembling with a sheet up to her face. The kids look at their back, their faces toward the wall, and Shaq's looking at her, and like he's thinking, why didn't you resist? And she's thinking, like, why didn't you help me? And each of them knowing that there was that they couldn't do it, because if either one of them had done anything any different, there could have been a massive, I mean, you know, many more people hurt, many more people killed as a result of this one act of this one individual. And then that brother has to raise that kid across the table with his other two kids, with his little meager resources, and raise, and that mom, that's her kid. She got that love. That brother's trying to, you know, hold it in and love that kid because it's part of his family. It's his children's brother, stepbrother, whatever you want to call it. You know, and then, I mean, there was always, you know, I used to wonder why my great-grandmother was so stoic, you know, why she would never hug me. You know, my grandma was, like, born in 1894 or so, and I'm sure that her mom, if you get knock off 20 years, she was born in probably 1874, if you take 63 from 74, that's 11 years out of slavery. And, I mean, that was when people could literally just come in your family and take your sister, take your mom, take your dad, take your uncle, and sell them to another plantation down the road, and you couldn't even see them. And I used to wonder, how could my grandma be so stupid? Why wouldn't she let me give her a kiss? She'd hit me with a cane. Until I began to get older and think, they had to love me enough, but not too much that it would destroy them if they lost me. I mean, this is what had been entrained. This is that thing that keeps us separated. I have to love you enough, but we know that we could be separated. I mean, that's come down through the generations. And what people call, what a lot of people may call human nature. It ain't human nature. It's not natural. It's societal. And then people, you know, wonder, you know, and then they talk like, you know, unemployment, for instance. Oh, unemployment among the black people, you know, and it's first thing, well, it's very high among, of course unemployment is high among black people. Because when you got private industry in a town that I live in, you know, who's going to get the jobs? You know, an electric company, you know, doing wiring in a house, who's refrigeration, you know, or doing any kind of thing. They're not going to hire a brother. I mean, you know, just be real about it. I mean, just be real. You know, the government has certain stipulations that they got to live up to, but these guys in the private sector, they don't have to live up to a cotton picking thing. Well, why don't you just, you know, you're free, why don't you just open your business? You go to the bank, what do you got for collateral? Brothers came back, fought in the same war that everybody else did, World War II, came back, got the worst houses, the worst land prospects, and then they couldn't even go and get a loan on the house because the property value wasn't as high as some of the other dudes got because their neighborhoods were built up, you know. And, I mean, you know, it's just like that. And you know, I look at people and they try to give you this game. They try to run this game down. I'm like, talk to somebody else that don't know. Don't talk to me. I mean, I've been on my job for 33 years. This job, all total since I was 22, I've been working, 37 years. Well, as a matter of fact, I started when I was 15 years old. And I've been around some of the most horrific bull crap that you've ever seen. You know, nepotism. I don't call it racism because I don't believe, you know, they want to sell you on the idea that you're a different race. I ain't no damn different race. I'm a different color. That means that you're psychotic if you can't deal with my color. You got a fetish. You got a deep psychosis. But anyway, and there have been promotions over you. You know, I was talking with another guy about a brother today that retired. He's been with the company 34 years, and they just finally promoted him 2 years ago, 34, 35 years or something. You know, I mean, yeah, and then you wonder, so what do we do? That's the problem. So what is the solution? The solution is to continue to take what we have to take, but start rebuilding our way of thinking, changing the paradigm. You know, change it because we are in corporations. You take the sisters that's in this room, Ms. Quiet, Ms. Lacey, Ms. India, Brother Alpho. I mean, we all do this thing. Ms. Rabia Ahmed. I mean, we all got to support each other, you know. And it's a totally different employment concept these days. And a lot of people aren't really involved in it, in my opinion. They don't understand that there has been a tremendous transition. When Wall Street does not produce one aspirin, does not produce one drop of a vitamin, one drip of milk, but they make tremendous amounts of money off of handling money, the money changers, see? And the insurance company, how much, you know, is your house worth? How much is it your, you know, whatever worth? It's arbitrary. Oh, I can give you so much insurance, you know, and you're going to have to pay me so much premium. It's arbitrary. Can we take it back? These guys have taken generations to establish these laws. They have advantage of the Supreme Court. They have advantage of the state, federal, the county. They have all the way down to the city. And until that we determine that enough's enough. And, you know, I mean, it's like because you're always worried, you know, well, you know, you can't be saying too much. They'll come and get us. You know, I mean, hey, self-preservation, the first law of nature. And, you know, and so there's a lot of brothers. They talk a lot of woo-woo, rah-rah-rah, but they trying to cover up because who wants to get stuck out there and get snapped up in it? I mean, you know, so what? I do run my head. I've been blessed to be in a position where I can run my head because I wasn't employed by a local employer. So I had to take advantage of that opportunity. There are so many brothers, and I love my brothers, trust me, that couldn't say nothing because they would lose their job. They would lose their houses. They would lose everything. What it's only cost me is promotions. It's cost me money to say what I say and to be the way that I am. But I've still been employed by the grace, not because I'm intelligent, not because of anything except by the grace, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, the thing of it is to me is that we got to keep dealing with our situation and keep visiting with each other because the answers are in the mirror. The problem is in the mirror, and the solution is in the mirror. So, you know, and I guarantee you I can't, say, you know, I can only say to you that I don't sell doubt. That's not, I'm not in I don't market doubt. Doubt to me is the devil's biggest, best tool. Doubt. Well, I don't know if I, well you know, I can't do that. You know, the opposite of doubt is faith, commitment, determination, focus, relentless, tenacious, not willing to back down attitude. You know, I know when to hold them, I know when to fold them, I know when to walk away, and I know when to run. You know, and I got to keep those things in my mind all the time, and I got to teach my children and my grandchildren, and they got to teach theirs because my children, I told my daughter, you're raising your grandchildren, baby. You're raising your grandchildren right now. Believe that. I didn't understand that until I looked at my grandchildren. If you got to put it right with them kids so them kids can carry it on, man. I mean, or else, you know, I don't look at them with any doubt in my eyes. I don't look at them with any less expectations than they're going to be the very best that they can be. And I want them to know, you know, hey, sometimes you got to get low, get dug down, you know. But, you know, you can't, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. And you are the sons and daughters of kings and queens. And I want them always to remember that. I'm missing stuff. I just get off and go into my little tirade. I don't run my guest off and my guest host. So y'all kind of look over me. Sister India said, yes, and the wife would rather have it. Let's see. Whoa. I missed out. Is true strength has not yet emerged. You know, they are emerging. They are emerging because we're going to pull it out of each other. I just got a feeling strong, persistent, intelligent, lobbying on all levels can helpfully bring about, no, not hopefully, will. Take hopefully out. Just say will. Hopefully, no. Amen. And woman Lacey, this is the key. This is what Sister Annie said, and like working out daily, commitment will change the body, absolutely. And you back off, the body gets lax, you know, atrophy. Muscles go back to jelly, which is what mine have done. The same for the mind, we will be lifted daily. That's what Sister Annie is saying, and it can only come from us. And it's the mental raping. Yeah, we've been mentally raped. But those brothers and sisters didn't have the advantage of sociologists and psychologists and therapists and all these different groups and all this different money that was invested in making sure and ensuring that they came back stronger. They had to work it out the best they knew how, and that's what they taught us, you know. But the one thing the old folks taught me is when to duck. Sometimes you need to get over there and shut up. Just go over there in the corner and shut up. And you learn that. But a lot of brothers watch you do stuff when I was back doing stuff. And they don't know. They didn't get the same sermon I got about, you know, keep your mouth shut, do this, do that. And they just went on out there headlong and got into a bunch of trouble. And then Miss Quiet says that's not only mental rape. It sows seeds of anger, frustration, comes out and destroys. Absolutely. No amount of guilt or stigma is what Miss Lacey said. No amount of guilt or stigma should hinder the struggle. Absolutely not. Oh, whoa. Stop it. She's sending me these IELs. Yes, and the wife would rather have her husband damaged than no husband. You know, sis, I understand that Sister Indy Claire says she would rather have her husband damaged. And, you know, because a lot of people in the fix-it business, I think, you know, they want to fix, you know, people believe, well, I can fix it. I used to, you know, fix it the way I want it to be. But, you know, the very thing that attracted me to a person is probably the very thing that when I tamper with it is going to cause me to lose interest in that person. That's what's manifested today. Rampant killing, shooting, and violence. Hundreds of killing, shooting, hanging manifested in the current day. Absolutely, sustained the class. Hundreds of years. And no amount, she says, you're true and natural and societal. Yes, and we can change it. I mean, but we got to market. I mean, you know, we got to be able to, you know, I can't expect. I used to tell a dude, man, I had a hard time. And it was rough. I mean, this dude be like looking at me like, you know, one of them dudes be like, yeah, well, I had a hard time too. I'm like, oh okay. You know, I understand. So I have to do this. Dude markets to me every day. He markets to me on TV. He's got his protagonist. If you look at these movies, you look at these heroes are European. And, you know, if you're not careful, you have a tendency to be, like, helping them. I used to watch my grandmother help them. Watch out, Richard. You know Stephanie ain't no good for you watching the stories. And those guys had made that story, and they were down sitting at Cozumel or Cancun or down in the Caribbean sipping on them little drinks with umbrellas. And my grandmother was just caught up, tensed all up, blood pressure tightened, worrying, you know. And we still do that today. You know what I mean? We still, you know, I can't miss such and such. And all it is promoting that Anglo perspective and having me identify with being assistant to that individual. It compromises me, elevates that person, and I've adjusted to it, and I've incorporated it into my way of thinking. What I have to do is to realize that's only that producer, that director, that writer's perspective. That's not my perspective. That's the European perspective. I have a totally different perspective. I have to take the laws of whatever nature, whatever, and I have to incorporate it into my way of thinking and not, you know, and realize that my children are important as the children that I see on TV, that my spouse or my object of my affection is as important as someone else's object of their affection. And I have to present to them that point. And this guy called me an N-word at work one day. And then he tells me that you need to get over it. You know, you just need to let it roll off your back. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you call me that, you're going to try to call my wife that. You're going to try to call my mother that. You're going to try to call my grandmother that. You're going to try to call my children that. So I'm not having it, man. And you know, I have to do that within the context of getting fired for standing up for myself. Because, you know, human resources, they're not going to take my side if I do something stupid. So, you know, you got a balance there you got to have. But the main thing is I have to learn the way to market my opinion and have it, you know, be rational enough that it can, you know, be represented and presented to an individual. And if that individual has any way of rational thinking or any kind of logic or being reasonable, then they can maybe not be what do you call I can't think of the word, but they may not necessarily have any affinity, but they can identify, you know, vicariously to some degree with my perspective. And that's all I'm asking, is understand where I'm coming from, not move out of the way and let me go ahead and do what I got to do. And this is where we, to me, where we are today after the sacrifice of so many in the past, is that we've positioned ourselves where that people understand to a degree where we're coming from, obviously in Wisconsin. Civil rights and down in Georgia, Alabama, Selma, it was civil rights back in the 60s. But all of a sudden, it was black civil rights. But all of a sudden in Wisconsin, it turned into civil rights or civil rights, everybody's civil rights. And so these people started, they made a backlash. You know, they voted out congressmen, had a recall election, and these people are fierce. Fierce. So we got to coalesce. I mean, we have a common objective. We have a common goal. Tea Party is not for us. Tea Party is not for, and the Tea Party is smaller than all the other groups around it, smaller than us, smaller than any other group. But they are running the biggest game. So how do you do it? Vote them out. Why do you have to negotiate with Boehner? Vote him out. Put him in the minority, so deep in the minority that you can't even hear him whisper. This is what you do. Vote him out. That's the whole, to me, solution. You know, the problem is Boehner. The solution is voting him out, getting rid of him, and putting him on the sideline where he belongs. You know, at this age, if your mind is the ultimate threat, if they can make you think absolutely that you are not of value, then they control you. Absolutely, because you won't do things that's in your best interest. You know, we have to guard and protect our mind. And, you know, when, you know, sometimes, you know, people think, oh, you speaking down to me, you trying to, you know, no. Never, ever. There's, to me, one concept, one is speaking, you know, I talk to, you know, I talk to somebody, I talk to, no. I try my best, even with my kids and grandkids, to talk with them. I talk with you. I say something, I listen to you. I try to make it a habit to listen to you, understand where you're coming from. Because, you know, I've heard people, I've told you, how many times have I to take? I say, well, listen, why tell them? Teach them. You know, how long does it take to teach a person? Sometimes it may take 12 years. You know what I mean? A kid has gone, they graduated, 12 years they dedicated. 12 years, oh, I got a headache, my stomach hurt. I don't want to go to school. I didn't get my assignment done. 12 years they stayed consistent, and they got that degree. It's not just the graduation, though, now it's time to celebrate. 12 years of commitment you went through. And people say, well, I believe it when I see it. Well, when you were in the first grade, would you ever believe that you would have graduated? No. You had to believe it. You had to go through it to see it happen. So you had to have faith initially. And the, you know, until you could have the faith, somebody had faith for you. So it's not to me always I have to see it to believe it. Sometimes it's I have to believe it to see it. And you know, I just know that it's within us. All cultures, but our culture is who I speak to most directly, is because we've gone through so much, and really and truly there is so much identity with us, and there are so many people really that identify with us, and when we coalesce, it's going to be an awesome thing. And I heard Brother Al talking about what's going on up in Washington D.C. In Washington, D.C. on the 27th of August, I believe, with the dedication of Martin Luther King's statue and whatever. And what is it? What is it? Oh, we're going to gather up there. Nah, it's that spiritual connection, the spiritual, the inspiration. The dude is speaking from the grave. His dream never died. You can take his life, but you can't take his dream. You know, and the dude, somebody spoke to him generations back. Somebody, our life is a living legacy, right? Because what I live today is going to be repeated. It's all I got is legacy. And I think it was Reverend Al or somebody said, you know, you run out of money, you know, but you know, you don't run out of legacy. Your legacy is going to go on forever. So whatever you tell a person, however you treat a person, I'm pretty sure it's going to go on forever. And I hope that I'm always adult enough, not adolescent enough, but adult enough that I can reason and converse and enjoy inspiration and encouragement and share it. Because I don't mind you being ahead of me. I don't mind you being in front of me. I don't mind you being taller than me. You know, I can walk behind you, beside you. You know, I don't have to be in front of you. You know, and whenever I feel like I got to tear you down is when I know I'm at my weakest point, because I can't elevate myself and accept that you are potentially superior. And I have to be humble enough to understand and know that and accept it and incorporate it into my life. But anyway, I'm just running my head, and I just thank y'all. My sisters, let me tell you, Miss Quiet Storm, love you. Thank you. Hugs and kisses. Miss Lacey, love you. Thank you. Hugs and kisses. My dear sister, Miss Indy Declare, you and your fine family, and Miss Lola, appreciate you. Love you. Hugs and kisses. Mr. Alpho, I ain't got no hugs and kisses for you, big brother. Dap, Alpho, thank you for being here. And I really appreciate it. 26 minutes right now past 8 p.m. 26 past the hour, right? 34 minutes before the next hour. And, man, I tell you, my guest host took off on me, and I am so mad. But you know how that goes. It is what it is. And sis says, once they have the mind, they can make it. Yeah, right. Don't give your mind to crack, liquor, or any other man-made, deliberate, destructive distraction. Love and protect your mind. By education, we can diffuse the fear and understand. Absolutely. Miss Lacey said that. She said I wrote that wrong. Wait. Thank you, love you, Miss Quiet Storm. And let me say, and Miss Rabia Ahmed, no comment. Thank you. Love you. God bless you up there. And keep doing what you're doing with the ladies up there in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, because it's essential. The sisters need this, not only because she doesn't only do it for the sisters, she does it for the families. It's a holistic treatment system, and I just have a tremendous amount of respect for her and what she's done and what she's doing and what she is to do. And I hope that we can all, I hope, you know, this is just the beginning, you know, and like I say, I'm gonna be somewhere out here doing something. But let me say, Miss Quiet Storm, Miss Twinkles will be a guest on this Miss Quiet Storm show Saturday, July the 30th. Miss Twinkles, widely traveled, very well read, many years of accomplishments in the field of human resources, effervescent personality, absolutely, with an infectious smile, soon to explore the benefits and opportunities of entrepreneurial pursuits. You can't afford to miss Miss Quiet Storm and her wonderful guest, Miss Twinkles. And that's Saturday. The time is 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, 11 a.m. Central Standard, 12 noon Eastern, and 12 noon Eastern. And that's Miss Quiet Storm. And you can find her at www.missquietstorm.com. And let me say, the Nookers out there, thank y'all. The Nook Nips, Poetic Nook, thank y'all. I'm sorry I didn't get it said earlier. And I got 90 seconds, so let me just wave at you goodbye and God bless you. Give you my heart and let you know we appreciate you so much and look forward to visiting with you again and hope you'll give us a call next time and not be afraid to talk, like somebody said. But anyway, love y'all. God bless. We'll be speaking with you as we can. And Sister Indy, I'm going to try to catch the show tomorrow. Brother Alpha, I'm going to try to catch you Saturday. I tell plenty of people about y'all for real and really appreciate what you do. And Miss Quiet, love you. Take good care. And everybody, Ms. Lacey, thank you. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you, Ms. Lacey. Brother Alpha, it's only great if you get in here and let's argue. God bless. Take good care. And we're going to get the heck up out of here right about N-O-W.
gave me